This is Central Time. I'm Keely Boltina. Public health officials advised against traveling to see family and friends for fall and winter holidays. And for people who decided to travel anyway, there was some shame, some guilt associated with that. People wondered, why would someone take an easily unavoidable risk? Why aren't they thinking about the health and safety of others? But it's not that simple. And these are just part of the narrative of shaming around the time and place in the pandemic. We want to hear from you as we broach this conversation. You can call 800-642-1234. Have you felt shame for choices you've made around wearing a mask or traveling or seeing friends and family? Do you feel like there are judgments from people that are fair, or maybe you feel like they're a little bit out of line? Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas@WPR.org. Our guest now is Julia Marcus. Julie is an infectious disease epidemiologist and associate professor in the Department of Population Medicine at Harvard Medical School and Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare Institute. Julia researches HIV infection prevention and promoting sexual health. Welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
This shame that we're talking about that's been directed at individuals, it comes from lots of different places. Where do you see it?
I think I first started seeing the shaming during COVID back in April, actually, or maybe even as early as March, around the time of spring break, when college students started to go travel down to Florida, and then people started to emerge from their homes more as stay-at-home orders started to lift. I think I saw it first on social media, but then started to see it in news media as well, with all these photos of crowded beaches and from health professionals as well and elected officials. So I think it's persisted since then, and in some ways I think has gotten worse, and especially in these last couple of months as cases are increasing across the U.S. I think with that increase in fear and a sense of urgency, that can also translate into more judgment and shaming of others for their choices.
What do you think the intent is here?
Well, I think first I will say judgment of others for taking risks, either risking their own lives or the lives of those around them, that judgment is totally understandable. People are angry, and they're angry for a lot of reasons right now. It's not just anger about people who are, you know, having gatherings that they don't need to be having, but also anger about the ways that our leaders have failed us. And that anger often gets directed toward individuals, because that's what we see. And we see these stories in the media about people traveling, and we hear from friends and family that that's what they're doing. And I think that the goal, in a way, of shaming is an expression of that frustration. And it gives us a sense of control in a situation that's very uncertain. And, you know, it feels like, all right, I'm going to put the locus of control on you, and now I feel better. But the problem is that shaming is not an effective public health strategy. And I could tell you this as an HIV researcher, but you can also hear it from other areas of public health, substance use, obesity. It's not a way to get people to change their behavior, and it can actually be counterproductive to the goal of reducing infections.
Why is that? Why is it counterproductive?
Well, what shaming tends to do is make people feel terrible if they actually get infected, or terrible for the choices that they're making that may involve some risk taking. Even if they're being careful, even if they have really, well thought out reasons for taking those risks. We are all taking risks in some way every day right now, some more than others, and for different reasons. But human lives are messy, and there are many reasons behind risk taking, often reflecting unmet needs around getting a paycheck, needing to go to work. There are a multitude of reasons, but the problem is that when we shame people, they feel bad about themselves, and they fear judgment, and they feel stigmatized, and they will then try to avoid disclosing what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They will disclose behaviors. They won't disclose symptoms. They won't tell people if they may have exposed them for fear of judgment, and they won't engage with contact tracers. And so you can see how that ends up driving the pandemic more underground in a way that makes it much harder to address.
Julia Marcus is an infectious disease epidemiologist, and we're talking about COVID-19 and public health and the shame that comes with our discussions about it, and also comes with having a diagnosis and feeling embarrassed. We're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. And Samantha in Superior wants to join the conversation. Good afternoon, Samantha.
Hi. So my experience with shame around COVID is I had a positive COVID test, and I did not get any backlash from my family or friends, but who was concerned was my employer, especially when I applied for unemployment for the few weeks I had to be in quarantine. I got a couple text messages from them asking me if I really needed to be on unemployment. They were very, they asked me multiple times to prove that I tested positive, even after I already provided information. They asked me if I could come back earlier than after my fever went down, even though I still could be contagious. So it was just really daunting to see how my employer was willing to risk everyone's safety over either unemployment or getting me back on the schedule.
Mm. Samantha, I'm sorry to hear that, and I'm grateful that you're doing well after a bout with COVID-19. Julia, what do you hear there that other people can take away from Samantha's experience?
Well, it's interesting because, first I'll say I'm sorry to hear that happened, but I think that Samantha's experience reflects to some extent some stigma around infection, but it also reflects something much bigger that's going on here, which is what I was referring to before around people's unmet needs. People need to be able to go to work. And if they can't go to work because they're sick, they really need support in staying home. And so what I would want to hear is that an employer is doing everything they can to ensure that somebody is supported in isolating until they are no longer infectious. And we want to actually make it as easy as possible for people to do that, to quarantine, to isolate, to socially distance, to wear masks, all these things. We can't just tell people, do this, you're on your own. It's do this, and here's how we're going to support you.
You know, I've heard stories from friends or family members of mine where, you know, they've been really, really careful, and then they meet up with someone else who has been really, really careful because they haven't seen them in a long time, and they're kind of part of the same bubble, and they still encounter some shame from people for those behaviors, other people deciding that was unsafe, even though they've tried their best at that. You write that people should be directing outrage toward institutional deficiencies as opposed to at individual people. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think it's easy to get really outraged when we hear about people having parties, you know, getting together and having a good time and doing things that seem like easily avoidable risks. And I think, you know, that's again, that judgment is understandable. That anger is understandable. But I think where that anger would be more productively directed is toward the leaders who actually have the ability to enact policies that will make us all safer. So going back to our caller, Samantha, her situation, you know, we want to make sure that people have easy access to unemployment so they can stay home. Imagine if she said, okay, I guess I will come back to work while I'm still infectious because I'm being pressured into it. Or people who don't have paid sick leave. Those are the things we need to be directing our outrage toward, you know, getting leaders to take some action, especially in ways that will protect people who are marginalized, who don't have a voice, who really are, as we can see from the socioeconomic and racial and ethnic disparities in infections in this pandemic, really are at the highest risk.
What advice do you have for us as we talk with one another about these things and as those judgments pop into our head, but then we need to talk about them in a way that's productive and that doesn't involve that kind of shame?
I think to the extent that we as not just health professionals, but people, you know, anybody in the public can try to approach this with compassion, we will get further. Understanding that everyone is struggling in some way right now. Everyone has some need that's not being met, whether it's, you know, an economic need, a need to see loved ones, a need for just having a good time in life and spontaneity and all the things that make life fun and worth living. And I think when we can take a step back and ask, why is this person taking risks? We often come to a conclusion that they're experiencing something similar to what we're experiencing or something that we can at least understand. And that becomes a place of shared ground where you can have a more productive conversation.
And what if you're on the receiving end of that shame, that someone has embarrassed you? What's a healthy way that you can kind of process what you're hearing?
Oh, that's tough. And that for that one, I'm going to refer out to a psychologist. But I think just understanding that we are in a situation where we're all faced with risks every day. We cannot be entirely isolated. And this is a highly contagious virus. And so if you get a positive test and somebody says, how did you do this? Like, what did you do wrong? Remember that you're just living your life. And maybe you did take more risks than you needed to take, but none of this is about a sign of bad character. The virus is not a moral agent. Getting infected is not a personal failure. Mm-hmm.
Julia, thank you for breaking this down for us today.
Thanks for having me.
Julia Marcus is an infectious disease epidemiologist and an associate professor in the Department of Population Medicine at Harvard Medical School and Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare Institute. And we talked with her today about how shaming people about having or risking spreading COVID-19 can actually be counterproductive to the goal of stopping the pandemic.